I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm just explaining the innards.
Oh, happy day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Man City got a nervy win. Everton got a thumping win. And Crystal Palace got a Premier League status securing win. Marcus Speller, Luke Moore and Pete Donaldson in your ears. No Jim Campbell.
Yo.
He's had too many eggs.
Jim Campbell's suffering down the stretch, down the running. it's injuries, it's suspensions, they're piling up.
Absolutely.
He can't compete at the top level.
It's too much. He's in that sort of zone where he's, you know, he's not quite Premier League level when it comes to fitness.
A Huckabee zone.
The Huckabee zone, yes.
It's a long season, though, isn't it, Marcus?
It's a very long season.
Off the back of a World Cup as well. We've had no rest time, really.
Well, to be fair, I was recently rested.
That's true.
Yeah. So I could get back and finish strongly in the real business end.
You flounced off home to Mexico.
Marcus, you were rested because Pete and I don't trust you in the big games.
Now we're over that hump.
Yeah, exactly. Now Jim's gone, we need you. Oh, there we go. Best get well soon to Jim, though. He's on his sick bed, bless
and
him.
His personal demons.
Yeah, exactly.
No, an awful lot of time and money needs to be spent sorting out those demons, but there we are.
There are some doctors listening. Can we fix Jim?
Yeah, get involved.
Absolutely.
If you are a doctor, perhaps you could diagnose Jim over Skype and offer some medication.
Skype.
The medication Pete's offered to Jim, which isn't entirely
careful
legal, it's been gratefully turned down.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It's like those naughty Hollywood doctors. They're fun. They'll write anything.
Yeah.
Those naughty Hollywood doctors.
It's like, you know, a doctor's a bad doctor when, like a taxi driver in London, they just give you a load of blank receipts. Blank prescriptions. There you go. Fill out what you want. Yeah. I'll sign it.
My goodness. Well, some Man City fans may have needed to visit the doctor after that one. Oh, it was nervy. They beat Spurs 1-0, of course. And I tell you what, Spurs missed some chances in that game.
They did. I particularly thought that Man City would lay waste to everything in front of them between now and the end of the season. And they won. Mm-hmm. So let's get that absolutely right. But it wasn't quite the dominant performance against the team who were quite sort of dilapidated with injuries that we thought.
Yeah.
Big plus for Spurs that Dyer was able to come back. I wasn't expecting him to play. I didn't see that he was going to be ready. I'll tell you what was a really nice touch from Guardiola, which might have gone underplayed a bit, is the starting of Phil Foden. Because it's
he scored the goal.
Yeah, but it's nice for the... But what I mean is, it's quite nice for the fans after the week they've been knocked out of the Champions League to see a youth team prospect play and score and go, actually, well, you know, future might be a bit brighter. Sure. I think it's a nice political move.
I think I think they're all right, sitting pretty at the top of the league.
De Bruyne,
they're not at the top of the league. Liverpool are top.
They're not, you absolute fucking prick.
At that point, they were, Luke Moore. Right. When they were enjoying that match, they were.
Now we're on Monday.
Right.
Yeah. Switch on.
Go to the hospital and see Jim.
Then they're already 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a point.
Would it be quite a good return if Man City win the rest of their games and rack up, across two Premier League seasons, 198 points?
I think you know the answer to that.
I think, is that higher than what Pardew got at Newcastle? Yeah, fifth, they got much, fifth that time.
Yes, pre-ramble recording, we were talking about that season in which Newcastle...
And then Pete started crying, so we had to move on. Okay. Because he's so confused, Marcus, because of the heady days, but also the hatred for the manager.
Exactly, what do you do?
Yeah.
You finish fifth under Pardew, but it was under Pardew.
And we stopped the conversation when Pete mumbled under his breath, "I wish I could quit you."
Indeed, yeah. Well, Man City, I mean, that's twice now they've beaten Spurs in quick succession, I suppose. They won 4-3 and 1-0, so they're definitely a better side than Spurs, which will make it hurt even more that they're not in that semi-final. But the domestic treble is on. Pep was full of praise, as usual, for his players. But I thought this it was really interesting, the game played out, because it was an incredibly nervous affair for some
Edison
of those.
Edison was very good, wasn't he?
Edison was brilliant, as he is.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, this is interesting, because I remember what you were saying last week, Luke, that Man City would be like, right, sleeves up now, boys, let's go to town.
Well, it's because what happened last season, they knocked out the quarterfinal and they just rinsed it.
Exactly.
I thought it'd be the same.
But I think it was interesting that it was Spurs, so soon after going out to them, they come back and they're like, oh, blimey, we are beatable. Even though they didn't lose the game, but you know we're not indestructible. The quadruples got there's all that kind of stuff. They seem to be in a bit of a haze now. They scored early, which you think would settle it, but it didn't. Now they've got over that game. That was a bigger psychological barrier than perhaps we thought.
Oh, big challenge for them on Wednesday, playing Man United.
Yeah, well...
Listeners can't see the face.
Like I said, I thought they would beat Spurs. I didn't think it would be that close, but I thought they would. For me, it was more Burnley away rather than Man United away.
Yeah, you've got a real claret in your bonnet about this
you
Burnley
genuinely
game.
Think because, that's going to be...
Because I didn't think Man United would propose too much for Manchester City.
I mean, I don't think they will either, but, I mean, we'll come on to Man United in a short while.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got to still be wary. It's still a derby game. Man United have still got some good players. Solskjaer was still fuming. So, you know, you can't completely rule out a reaction from them.
No.
Is Solskjaer fuming a bit funny?
Yeah, it is
Do you know what? I've suddenly realised they've got to play Leicester. Rogers' revenge.
Rogers' revenge.
I didn't think that.
Imagine if Leicester.
Tell you what, don't rule the. Oh.
Imagine if Leicester are about to beat Man City. Beat Man City, right? Second to. It's a penultimate game of the season.
Wes Morgan slips.
Brendan Rodgers slips. We're trying to give the ball to Leicester for a quick throw-in on a counter-attack.
Yeah.
And it mucks it up.
The plot does... There's some definite plot narrative cornstarch going on, getting added to this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rodgers' revenge.
Yeah.
Don't rule it out, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Do not rule that out.
I thought Pep was really, really nice about Phil Foden, about how he actually said, I didn't have a young player as good as Foden when I was in charge of Barcelona, which is heady praise.
Play him then.
It's also not true, Peter.
I know. Pep does occasionally talk shit, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was lovely to see Phil Foden.
Foden go a whole playing career where instead of appearances he just gets compliments from the manager?
Yeah, exactly.
How long will that realistically sustain him?
Does he get
in his contract, does
he get like compliment bonuses?
Yeah. Well, he's 31, Pete, and like the manager, whoever it is, then is going, well, you know, Phil, he's one of the best players I've ever had. And meanwhile, Phil, in his 15 years at Man City, he's racked up 14 appearances.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I don't know, he could be like an estate agent by 31.
But Guardiola said, we all could be. Oh, I couldn't be.
I was going to say.
Yeah, but Guardiola said at the start of this season, we are going to be treating Phil Foden as part of the first team squad, as a senior pro, senior player, and he's going to be picked on merit. And you can't really criticise him, Guardiola, because obviously they're doing very well. And
he's behind some very talented, expensive footballers.
Yeah, but when he comes in, he makes a contribution. I thought it was politically a very good move to start him.
Yeah,
I thought it was a perfect time to start him, purely because they've had a bit of disappointment. Clearly because he's a young player and he's really talented and a lot's been made of him, and also because they lost Sancho, The fans love him and they want to see him do well, and he comes out, and for him to score in 5 minutes, at that point you think, well, Man City are probably going to go on and win this game fairly comfortably, as we predicted. Mm. Didn't work out like that, and credit to Spurs for that, because they had a bit of a scratch team. And if you look at the benches between both sides, like you said after the Champions League game, I mean, it's absolutely staggering. But they did win the game, and if they the simple fact is, if they win the rest of their games, they'll win the league.
Of course. It was a ballsy thing to do, though. Mm. In a very important game, on paper, their hardest game, minus that Rodgers revenge one, they've got to play. You would expect Man City, though, to win the rest of their games.
Well, the United one's a big one, isn't it? If they win that, you think it's probably going to be done.
Yeah. Although, we have highlighted that second to last one against Leicester.
You have highlighted that.
You have highlighted that.
You've highlighted Burnley and Leicester now.
Yeah.
You've got City down as finishing fourth. Eh?
The thing about obviously Pep and City and obviously Liverpool, who are going toe-to-toe, that Liverpool have to show such steel and sort of single-mindedness, because they're always playing catch-up, because Man City, for the last two matches, have played first. So it's like, right, there you go. Pick up the gun. Get yourself 3 points.
Yeah.
It's so tense for Liverpool.
It is.
I don't really know why, and it probably says more about me than anything else, but I didn't find the Man City game against Spurs anywhere near as tense as a Liverpool against Cardiff.
Sure.
Until Liverpool obviously scored.
Yeah.
And then you realised Cardiff aren't really going to be able to do anything.
I thought it was going to be goalless at half time, and it was Cardiff and Liverpool. Yeah.
Do you know what would be interesting is if Liverpool won the Champions League and Man City won the league, they'd both feel slightly unsatisfied.
Amazing teams.
No, but that's what I mean, though. If Liverpool won the Champions League and failed to win the league, don't get me wrong, they'll bloody have a good old party up in Liverpool about that.
Yeah.
And if Man City win the league, obviously they'll be absolutely delighted with that. Mm. But they would look at each other and go, we'd rather swap. Man City, ultimately, they wanted to win the Champions League this season, and Liverpool need to win that league title.
But isn't it weird, like Luke says? Like,
you can't always get what you want.
Isn't it weird what Luke said? That,
or what you need.
The Man City match didn't seem quite as nervy, even though they scored in the first 5 minutes, and then they were just... The Spurs were coming at them, and obviously the goalkeeper had a lot of work to do, but Liverpool... It was so much more tense in that particular match. Yeah.
Especially given that Liverpool were playing a far inferior side. Yeah,
Cardiff were very defensive in the first half. But
let's talk about Liverpool Cardiff.
We're on there. What was Sean Morrison doing with that header?
I think he lost a flight. I'm being generous. I think he lost a flight of it in the sun. It's the only explanation.
It has to be.
Well, half of the pitch was covered in sun,
and
the ball came from that direction. The only explanation, given that everyone in this room could have scored that.
Yep. You say that because Jim's not here.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, Jim's ill, so he wouldn't have got off the bench to score it.
But he wouldn't have been at the training ground because you would have infected the other people.
Indeed. The only explanation it must be that he lost the ball. I mean, you can understand he's always got to connect. If there's not an ulterior explanation, he has to put it over the bar. He has to. Sometimes it even comes off the shoulder. But to come off the back, so which means he's basically missed the ball by about 10 inches, means he must have lost the flight of it.
Yeah, I mean,
can I just say, I was fuming. Not because I hate Liverpool, because I love the drama.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him equalise to see what Liverpool made of. You know?
But especially as Liverpool missed a fair few chances before they went 1-0.
Firmino's chance was a big miss.
You know, Salah as well. But they're top of the league with 88 points.
I mean, and this very idea, and hopefully as a football watching bunch of people, I don't mean us three, but I just mean the wider football watching community, hopefully as a group we've got over this idea that any team out of Liverpool or Man City are going to, in quotes, bottle it. Because Liverpool could get into a situation where they get 97 points and lose one game this season and not win the league. I mean, they can be forgiven for turning around and saying, what more do we have to do? And the answer would be probably get 2 more points. But you know what I mean? They've done amazingly well, brilliantly well.
88 points is an incredibly impressive tally.
Even if they didn't win
another game for the rest of the season.
It's Liverpool's Premier League record. Like, it's just already.
Well,
taking
into account the adjustment for 3 points for a win, only in 1978-79 and 87-88 have they performed better than this at this moment in time, another stat actually which sort of surprised me about Liverpool is they've scored the most goals from corners.
Oh, really?
Of all the Premier League teams this season, which again shows you
they get a lot of corners as well.
Yeah, they do. Gareth Southgate having an influence, perhaps.
Maybe.
Once again, you're welcome.
But you know that the season when Leicester won the league in 2016?
Yeah. Was it 78 or 79?
They went up 81 points.
Oh, 81 was it? Yeah. Oh, they did get up.
So, I mean,
Which was, I think, the fifth or sixth lowest in the Premier League.
But it's funny how the Premier League works, because have Spurs got 67 points this season so far?
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think they haven't. Let me just check real quick. I think they've got 67.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got 67. Well, the table that season that Leicester won it, which of course was a bit of an outlier for a number of different reasons. I mean, 67 points. I mean, Man City, Man United, they got 66. Southampton got 63 that season. Mm. West Ham finished seventh with 62. It really does depend on the type of season you get.
Yeah. 62 points.
Yeah.
There you are.
Yeah, see? Can't go like that sometimes.
That's incredible.
And you also, we have to mention, we're almost contractually obliged to mention the turnaround in points, mm-hmm. because I believe it's a 25-point swing. So even if Liverpool finish 1 point behind Man City mm-hmm. this season, as they might do, they would have made up 24 points.
You know right. me, I don't go in for that swing business.
But it is a swing. It is a swing.
I know, but each season it starts off differently.
I know what you mean, but it's still they've made up a lot of ground then. At least give them that. Mm. Why do you hate the people of Liverpool?
They were in charge for a while.
Why will you be besmirching the good people of Liverpool when we're going to the Epstein Theatre in October?
We have Everton to talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
And a few weeks ago I said that I'd probably rather Liverpool won the league. Mm. Who would you rather win the league?
Manchester City.
Right, so why do you hate the people of Liverpool?
I just don't really like the team as much as I like the Man City team.
You're a big fan of Phil Foden?
I am.
I think Mo Salah's a big diver.
He is.
All right, Warnock.
He is.
Oh, he was like Tom Daley, that
to
was.
But to be honest...
9.9.
If he hadn't gone down, his hands were all over him. So what do you have to do?
It was a penalty.
It was a penalty, but like he threw himself to the ground at the end. He sold the penalty and he deserved the penalty, but he had to go down before the referee could give him.
Let's be clear. Both those things can be true.
Yeah.
Mo Salah is a diver.
Yeah.
I think that's true. And mm-hmm. I think he's not by no means the only player in the Premier League to be a diver. And that was a penalty. Both things can be true.
But the annoying thing is, people will pile in on Salah and say he's a diving rubbish. Because people will talk like that, rubbish.
No, do the Warnock voice if you're going to do it.
But they say he's a diver, but like he had to sell that. But he wasn't going to get a penalty otherwise. It's annoying because the referee won't go, get your hands off him.
Well, Salah either has to go down, as you rightly say, or he stops playing and throws his hands up and looks at the referee and says, are you going to give it? And if he does that, people then say, oh, Salah, the referee...
And we all know the only way that works is if you're Steven Gerrard.
Exactly.
Where you just... Steven Gerrard's the master of getting bowled over, picking the ball up with his hand, and then the referee would give a foul.
Steven Gerrard, he would dive and give himself the penalty.
Yeah.
Which is quite ingenious, really.
Amazing. The one thing I would say about this game is I thought in the first half in particular... And you know it's a pretty regular scene to see Warnock fuming at the fourth official, and I get that. Yeah. But I do actually think Cardiff were on the end of some pretty poor decisions in the first half. There was at least three incidents I can think of where it was obviously a foul around the halfway line. That style that Liverpool play, where they try and get the ball back really quick and they nip at the ankles, they try and get a foot in there. And there were probably at least three, maybe even four instances where it was clearly a foul on a Cardiff player, yet it wasn't given, and once or twice Liverpool had a serious attack from it. So I can understand Warnock being angry, and because clearly for them to get anything out of a game against a team like Liverpool, even at home, everything's got to go perfectly.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, you've really got no hope.
Warnock mentioned in the post-match press, or the post-match interview, that he was still not over the Chelsea result. Mm. Which was interesting, and it was quite a bold and odd thing to say, I suppose.
He spent a lot of time being very angry in this match, and I think that it's obviously a hangover from what happened.
Well, he's still angry about that. Quite clearly, they have won since then. They got a great win at Brighton, so you know it's obviously not affected the team that much. You would think, but they're 3 points plus a big margin in goal difference behind Brighton, having played one match more.
And the Brighton's game in hand though is away at Spurs tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, so
they've got a chance.
So
that might even up the goal difference a little bit.
Well, I don't know. Spurs have got other things to think about, but they are going for top four.
They'll have enough to defeat Brighton. But
I do agree with that. Yeah. But Brighton, vital point at Wolves.
Yes.
And that was a proper greeted like a victory. And they knew how vital that was. Yeah. Wolves should have won the game. They had chance after chance. Matt Ryan was superb in goal.
If you look at the profile of players Wolves have got playing for them, you wonder whether they can get up for these smaller games.
Maybe.
They had the same against Huddersfield. They lost twice to Huddersfield this season.
That is a fair point, actually. Brighton still need to go to Spurs and Arsenal and play Man City at home. And they haven't scored in their last five Prem matches. David Proper picked up a hamstring injury. There is hope for Cardiff, but time is running out.
Well, Brighton will play, who did you say, Man City and Arsenal?
And Spurs, obviously, you've already mentioned.
Yeah, and who do Cardiff play towards the end? They've got Fulham next, haven't they?
They've got the points.
They've
of
got
Fulham.
Palace at home. Well, they've got Man United away. That's a good. Imagine if Solskjaer loses to Cardiff, his old club, on the last day of the
season. Fulham are doing that classic thing of, are we down now? Oh, great, now we can play.
Yeah.
Two clean sheets. They beat Everton, they beat Bournemouth away, their first away. But yeah,
how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good.
Use a swear word.
Balls.
Be nice, just nice to see Solskjaer get Cardiff some points. Because
yeah.
He didn't
by
know
the way,
he was there.
Are we going to talk about Jose Perez and Newcastle? Was that coming later?
I'm sure it'll come up later.
That's coming up in a bit. Okay.
Speaking of how bad, are we going to be piling on Southampton because they were dreadful at times?
No, because I've got a little bit of trivia question for you and the listeners.
Mate, this is all the warm-up act to the main headline, exactly. Which is Jose Perez.
I mean, it's like Jose Perez took Pete Diggs personally. Like, he's been brilliant ever since. He's been amazing.
All right, after the break, Petey will talk us through the emails. See you in a moment.
I wasn't clattering on.
Mm-hmm, he was. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back at the football round, but it's time for emails with Pete C. Only be in
your bunny. Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bad bees, Ruben Letigo in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Love that. Do you know famous band from Ann Arbor, Michigan? Want to have a guess?
Who?
The Bee Gees.
It was actually the lead singer's birthday yesterday, I believe.
Oh, I see.
The Stooges, Mr. Iggy Pop.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That's wonderful.
There you go, Pete. Is that what he said in his email, is it?
That's not what he said in his email. I've actually copy and pasted not the actual...
Oh, good, Pete.
I've copied and pasted the email, but the problem with...
You should be on nodding terms with admin by
with
now.
MacBook,
at least nodding terms.
With MacBook pages, it won't accept an Excel spreadsheet plugin. So
what does a bad workman blame, Marcus?
Long time listener. You're my tools. Long time listener. First time emailer. Well, not really, but I hope you read this out. Just wanted to point out that Jose Perez has now achieved a goals to transfer ratio of 14.47 goals per $1 million in transfer fees.
Not bad.
It's not bad.
That's good, isn't it?
That's good.
Some other notable strikers in the Premier League are included in the table below, which, again, I couldn't copy and paste. While his stat doesn't account for games played or number of seasons and is not exhaustive, and individual stats and accolades are a damning indictment of the modern game, looking at you, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm staggered as to why Pete doesn't revel in the fact that he only cost $2.8 million. He's putting US dollars in there, so which I quite like.
Could be Euro dollars.
But yeah, his goals to money ratio is bloody, bloody good.
Yeah, so I think that's absolutely right. And I think for a player of that, for a team of that level, I think he's fine.
So we'll talk about him in a bit.
So let's have a look
at him.
So if I'm going to give you I'll give you the transfer fee, and then you've got to give me the goals to transfer fee ratio on Jamie Vardy. He was $1.41 million
in
man. US.
That must be absolutely ridiculous. That must be... He must have... What, per million?
Goals to transfer fee ratio, so the whole thing.
This is very confusing. I don't understand what kind of answer you want from
us. Yeah, what...
So 14.47 for Jose Perez, that presumably 14.47 goals per million.
Yes.
Fine, just say yes then.
All right, yes.
Yeah.
I'll have 25.
No, he's 1.4 mil. He must have scored...
Oh.
He must... I reckon he's probably... Per million,
26?
I reckon he's probably got 55.
55.32.
He got it wrong. He didn't put the 3-2.
No, it's
come
not bad.
That
it's
is,
not a bad
that
guess.
Is not too bad.
Come on.
Come on.
All right, I'll have a guess then. 50.
Luis Suarez. He was $30.21 million.
For Liverpool?
Yeah. Just for Liverpool.
I reckon 25.17.
That sounds about right to me.
How much?
25.17.
I've got 2.28 here.
Oh, I got
per
it
million.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, to be fair, he didn't stick around very long, did he? Yeah, so that makes sense.
Okay.
Can we do something else now?
Yeah,
we can.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
No worries. Did you see the video of the player getting subbed on? I can't forget what
it
was.
I want to talk about this.
Scandinavia?
Yeah.
Swedish second division.
Yeah.
Was it for Degerfors? He gets subbed on with a high five, and his gloved teammate high fives him in the eye. He makes about 10 yards onto the pitch before
he realises he can't see and then says he has to be subbed off. Incredible.
I want to know if he still gets his appearance bonus for that. He should do.
The game get him in the appear.
The game finished with a draw anyway.
Yeah.
Or in this case, he's a pirate.
Yeah. What would happen if that was the last substitution? That would be a disaster, wouldn't
could
it?
Could he not continue? I think
I
he was able to continue.
I think he's
was he able to continue? I thought, no, I think he
had treatment.
I think he's okay, actually, because there's talk of him maybe going to Polk City.
That
Stoke
is
City.
No, not even close.
Stoke City, no. All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Good God.
Yeah, he's yeah. always been. I mean, his
Thank
coach,
you, Nick,
said,
for...
his coach said has always been a very diligent pupil.
I regret bringing this up.
They also celebrated that draw by going out on the eyelash.
Eyelash.
Because if he yeah. really does improve and he sorts himself out, he'll play for Liverpool.
Enough of this vitreous humour. Let's end the email. Nick Cook basically brings it off. It brings that particular player up. And who are the players would you most like to poke in the eye?
ex-Everton goalkeeper Steve Imanson. There All we right. go.
There we
Is that
are.
Enough for the emails?
The optic nerve of it. show@thefootballramble.com if you want to get in touch. Make them better than that. you would.
Step
Thank
up.
You.
Yeah, step up to guys. The streets.
Indeed. Yeah.
Here we are. Let's talk about Everton hammering Manchester United. Gary Neville described the Man United performance as rancid. Rancid.
I can remember seeing
He was fuming.
Seeing him say that actual word. Yeah. And thinking, whoa.
Rancid.
Ooh. Even like Carragher was annoyed at how bad it was. And you think Carragher should sort of secretly be a bit pleased.
I think Carragher's a bit of a purist, right? He understands that rivalries are important to the game and how other teams do it, especially teams of the size of Man United.
He's a professional.
But I'll tell you what's fascinating is that they were awful. People listening don't need us to tell them that. Mm. I mean, let's just call it a general rule. Yep. When Theo Walcott adds a fourth, you're probably not having the best day at the office. Yep. So we get that, right? But what's fascinating to me is the idea that Solskjaer appears, all the noise is coming at the club, all the people who are much more connected at the club than we are, seem to be taking the line that this will not stand from the players' point of view. There's no blame being applied to Solskjaer. There's no fan turning on him because they like him. Mm. That, to me, says that the Man United players might get a bit of a short, sharp shock when they report back to training. Because they're suddenly, all of a sudden, hang on a minute, we can't really get away with seeing another manager off here. So what's going to happen? To me, it's a hugely... I get the idea that they're going to blame the players, but to me, it's a hugely brave move to say to Solskjaer, assuming no director of football comes in, which of course they might, but if they don't, to say to Solskjaer, yes, the team needs to be rebuilt. Yes, there are some bad eggs in this squad, and we are going to rely upon you. By the way, we know you're a great player back for us in the day, but you are a guy who's managed at Mulder, who's failed at Cardiff City, and we are going to put you in charge of rebuilding the playing personnel of the biggest club in England. That, to me, is a huge gamble.
Well, of course, but anything... So what do you think they should have done then?
Well, not hired Solskjaer in the first place.
So you think a more like Arsenal did with Unai Emery, somebody like that?
Yeah, I think if you are going to hire someone who is going to be of that type of profile, you need to have a rock-solid administration above him. You need to have a very seriously experienced director of recruitment and football.
He's got Mike Phelan with
but
him.
But I said at the time it was a free hit for Manchester United, but the only problem that happens is, what if he does really well? Mulder's going to want his manager back, and Man United can't exactly have Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in there. But why do it now? Why make that a permanent decision now? Why make that permanent appointment now?
Because there's no one at the top of the club making good football decisions, is the answer.
But well,
it's being run by a commercially minded, commercially successful Ed Woodward.
Well, that's why they've got players who basically sell shirts rather than actually perform. And that's why they've got, because defenders aren't sexy. That's why they got the same back four that they had.
Paolo Maldini was very sexy.
But it's like seven years ago.
If you mean when you say sell shirts as a more of a sort of buzzword for increasing their worldwide
money. Yes.
Then I agree with that.
I
agree with that. But the idea though, Pete, is that the reason Arsenal eventually plumped for Emery instead of Arteta was because they realised that Emery's a vastly more experienced guy, and he could probably take a lot more of the heavy lifting with him and his team around things like recruitment, because he's huge experience and he's dealt with big players. Solskjaer's got no one above him, not no one. And I can't for the life of me see how a club the size of Man United, who, by the way, you can say all the rhetoric you like about how Man United should be competing for trophies, by which I mean Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues. Well, we're just seeing you're going to have to get 95 points plus to win the Premier League now. That's the fact of the matter. And they are absolutely miles away, and they're miles away in the Champions League. All I'm saying is, it's not necessarily even a criticism of Solskjaer, because the players should be ashamed of themselves based on that performance. It's a criticism of the decision to give so much responsibility to a manager of the profile of Solskjaer. That's all I'm saying.
But you got, but you got like, but you got Jones and Smalling obviously labouring at the back. But like, there's players like Lindelof have come in, by players like that, and you're sort of like, well, this is a hangover from the previous managerial appointment. Surely they just never bothered to get an actual defensive
partnership together.
It's always
a hangover from a hangover.
But it's just, nobody had the balls to sort of go, look, this is our defensive pairing. This is going to be a rocky road for a little while. But they just wanted to be. They just wanted to kick the can down the road for my money.
I would say they've had a few injuries, to be fair, and they're the only one up until January, as I think I said on Thursday, who've had a similar injury profile to Spurs. United and Spurs have had the worst time with injuries. Mm. Lindelof, for me, is a good player. He's just. I mean, against Everton, he had to play at right back, possibly because they've got personnel issues, possibly because they've got disciplinary issues at the club. There's a lot of bad apples in that group. And it's funny how quickly things can turn around. These players were cock-a-hoop about Solskjaer a while ago. Well, they're certainly not trying for him now. So they're either not trying for him because they don't like him as a manager, or they don't rate him, or they've seen through him. And we've seen this time and time again. If that is the case, we've heard players say, oh, that manager, we weren't having him, we just saw through it. Now, I'm not saying that is necessarily the case, but if it is, it's a pretty quick turnaround. Mm. And if it isn't, and then they're just not good enough, then it's a bigger issue anyway. To have a midfield of Pogba, Matic and Fred, and we talked about Pogba saying that he needs good players around him. Matic is gone by the look of that, and Fred's not made the adjustment. Everton have been good in the second half of the season. I agree with what Carragher said on the weekend. They've been decent. They've had some good wins against some good teams. But it's not really being beaten by Everton away. That's a tough place to go, traditionally. We know that. If you lose 1-0, you know, fine, and you know, you're a bit unlucky, but to lose 4-0 and to not give a reaction at any stage after conceding the first, second, third, fourth, these goals came. Mm. I mean, with about half hour left, there, 4-0 down, the game was just drifting. There's no excuse for that, really.
They made Everton look 10 times quicker than they actually were, in my money. They just looked so sluggish at the back.
The only man who really looked like he was worth a lick was old Scott McTominay. Came on and got himself a booking, showed a bit of fight. We all know Marcus Spiller loves a bit of that.
Absolutely, yeah. He's actually done all right since, you know, when he's played old
Scott
McTominay. But, you know, current player of the season, of course.
Do you think, Marcus, though, he's not a kind of player who's going to win you a game? He's a guy who's going to... He's going to give you a good rear guard action. He's going to be solid. He's going to look after the ball. And he's probably going to link up play pretty well. But you can't rely on him to go and win your games. Especially at his age.
I think with this whole Man United thing, they're 3 points behind Tottenham Hotspur. Which I'm sure if you'd have offered them the old adage, if you'd have offered them with, you know, 4 games left or whatever it is, they would have taken that when Mourinho left. It's been a funny old season. It's been a funny old time since Ferguson left. Let's go all the way back there. Mm. I think I understand why they gave Solskjaer the job. They desperately need some sort of messiah to come in. And they thought, right, he's winning games. Bloody hell, that's great. The club's in disarray. This we know. But looking at it, perhaps a little more of in the microcosm of that game, some of those players are a disgrace. And Solskjaer's been saying today, some of them may face the axe in and all the rest of it. I just look at old Paul Pogba. We know what a phenomenal talent he is. And he's produced some performances for Man United this season. When I look at him like that and Martial and one or two others, I sort of think to myself, you're fighting for top four. Mm. It's not like the way they're acting is they're going to finish sixth no matter what. There's not much. That would still be piss poor, don't get me wrong. Mm. You're still in there. You know, you've had a good run in the Champions League. People didn't expect that. Beaten by a far better side, but not disgracefully so. There's work to be done. Mm. I don't understand why you're phoning in performances like that. I cannot understand that.
Even if they were going to come sick no matter what, they still should be aware enough to understand that there's a lot of changes happening at United. It could be the start of a new era and they've got to play for their shirts for next season.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're going to be gone. But the reality
maybe
is...
they assume they are gone, that's why they're not playing.
Maybe they do just need to offload Pogba then, because it would just stop all this chat and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Who knows Man United?
To me, as I said after the Barcelona game, they look 5 or 6 players short.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody would have doubted that before. But again, there's work to be done. But if you have players who are not willing to put in the work, that's when there's real sort of crisis.
The only reason I'm stopping short of saying it's all the players' fault is because I don't think the manager's up to the job that they're asking him to do anyway.
But some of these players under Mourinho now, look, I'm not going to start defending Mourinho too much, but we've seen this from some of these players before.
Of course, we know the treatment that was dished out to Mourinho by some of those players on the training ground. I know that to be a fact. And it always comes to the always becomes the case when players start seeing off different types of managers,
yes,
by mugging them off with their performances, then clearly there's a lot of bad apples in that group. And I mean, that, I'm surprised Graham Souness didn't explode at the weekend.
Get Souness in there.
Yeah,
get him back into management. Yeah. But it was much more like it from old Silver's side, Presswell and yes, and whatnot. Everton, a strange side. They've just hammered Man United. They beat Arsenal 1-0. They won away to West Ham. They beat Chelsea. But they lost to Fulham last week.
Yeah. I think there's still an inconsistency to their performances. They've got the same amount of points now that they got in total last season with three games left. So you'd think there'd be an improvement there. And they've had, in a similar way to what we just talked about, they've had a lot of upheaval at that club. They had Koeman. He was doing okay. He went. Sam Allardyce came in as a short-time thing. Now Silva's come in. And Silva's not stuck at clubs for that long in his quite young managerial career so far. If he stays for the summer, has a good summer, gets the recruitment he wants, he might be able to restore Everton to a bit of a force again. But they're going to improve year on year in a very competitive Premier League, and that's not the end of the world.
Final word on Manchester United. I found the clip. This is kind of a perfect free hit for Man United. He has to go back to Mulder unless they want to keep him.
Yep.
They're not going to keep him because he's only going to fucking slosh over my language. If it goes badly, he disappears.
Right.
If it goes well, thanks very much. Club legend, cemented, see you later.
No,
so if he,
they
so,
went for the so third,
there's a third option.
Yeah.
Goes well for a bit, then goes badly.
Yeah.
There's a reasonable chance that.
Do you have all your sound bites or something?
Just a little.
Sometimes your mouse not moving, and it does confuse me. Is that basically why? I think this could all end in tears. Is what I was going to say.
Could all end in tears. There were tears in the home end at Arsenal, wasn't there, when they were beaten 3-2 by Palace. Palace have ensured they'll be playing Premier League football next season. Great win.
Why is Mustafi set on fire to everything?
I don't know. Arsenal, I mean, Spurs lose, Manchester United lose. Capitalise, chaps. Yeah. Capitalise. I mean, Arsenal's away form has been very patchy. And when I mean patchy, I mean pretty crap. But I mean, they did beat Watford just about, but it was an away win nonetheless. Actually, you thought to yourself, with Manchester United playing Man City this week, Spurs... perhaps a distraction with the Champions League and a few injuries and
it's
whatnot.
It's perfect.
It really is, Peter.
Yeah.
Just beat Crystal Palace.
Fertile soil.
Very fertile soil, but there are no green shoots.
They kind of handed the advantage to Chelsea, who play tonight, and you'd expect Chelsea to win tonight.
You would.
Arsenal, that would mean Chelsea have played a game more, though. I hate this play this season. It gets really confusing because of the games. But
why can't we all play at 3 o'clock on a Saturday?
Exactly. Chelsea would have played a game more, and Arsenal will have more than likely have a superior goal difference. So it's still in their hands, but I mean...
When Christian Benteke scores after nearly a year without a goal, and you think to yourself, oh, lads, you're going to put in one of these performances, aren't you? It was poor. I mean, the defending from Mustafi for Zaha's goal, who gobbled up the chance.
I don't know why Emery keeps playing him.
Emery defended him, saying he's been consistent all season. I said, well...
Oh, I agree with that.
I mean, it's consistency, you know, if you like.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that.
But what kind of defence is that? He's not very good. Well, he's not been very good all season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What are you asking me
I know exactly what's going on.
You pooed in all your pants. So consistent.
I don't know why...
I always piss my pants. What's the problem here?
He'd be better off playing Mavropanos there. He's young, 21, probably improving, could do with
playing
experience.
Jim Campbell there.
That's too far.
All right. It'd be a sideways step.
Or even dropping Guendouzi in there or something. I don't know. I mean, Mustafi's done. He's done.
Poor old Mustafi.
Whatever Emery says in public, I would be hugely surprised if Mustafi's still an Arsenal player next season. And Emery knows that. So the fact that he's still playing him is crazy. Was it? Which goal was it where he just looked at Bernd Leno? Where the striker moved in. It might have been the second
Zaha sort of just brushed him away and nipped in.
And Mustafi sort of held his hands out looking at Leno saying, what are you doing? And it's like, just defend it.
But he
always looks at other people, Mustafi, as well, which to me is the pure sign of an absolute shit. he never sort of throws his head up in the air and goes, oh, sorry, guys, like that. Puts his hands up. He's always like pointing and looking and asking why someone else hasn't done something better.
Oh, I was playing 11 side at the weekend and one lad. I'd never played before. And it was a lad who was just stood right next to, he was the defender. I was at right back. And he went, get this man. So he's right next to you, mate.
Get this man, because I'm going for a wander.
I was just like, you're centre-back, just stay on your man.
Get that man and all the other men.
What?
What happened?
A goal was scored.
That's your man, Donaldson.
He's 27.
Donaldson, OG.
Mustafi, 27. Like,
yeah.
Can you really be that badly burnt out at 27 in the modern game? It's not.
Well, apparently you can.
Oh, it's just, he's played football before. He's played at World Cups. I don't understand where his positional sense has just gone, just completely lost him.
Can I just say, Pete?
Yes, darling.
He's won the World Cup.
Yeah. All right.
So single-handedly.
Single-handedly.
Which appears to be what he's saying every single week.
And when he was holding...
When he gets criticised.
When he was holding that World Cup, he sort of pointed at everyone else. This is yours! You did this! You did this! You won this for me.
Where's the World Cup trophy? I've lost it. you lost your trophy, haven't you, man?
Oh, a robber out-muscled me.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, we will get to the main event, which is, of course, Newcastle 3, Southampton 1.
Yes!
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Was extraordinary.
Certainly was, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Thursday. We need a new best better, don't we, Luke Moore?
Correct, yeah, because our man predicted that, and fully endorsed by me, by the way, that City would win by 2 goals or more against Spurs. Didn't happen. Did not happen. So we need a new one. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line, and I will select one for Thursday's show.
Absolutely. A hat-trick for Ayoze Perez put Southampton to the sword. He's got 10 for the season. The first Newcastle United player since Gigi Wijnaldum. Let's go for that.
Gigi.
Yeah.
Genie, his nickname.
Genie. Yeah. Gigi Becali.
I'm a genie on the run. You got to rub
score me
the
10
right
goals.
Way.
He scored 10 goals in 2015-16. So it's the first time Newcastle players got double figs since then.
Can I chuck another bit of trivia into the mix?
Okay.
Do you know who the last player to score a hat-trick for Newcastle in the Premier League was?
So immediately, ooh, I want to say Alan Shearer, but it's obviously not that.
No, it's not Alan Shearer. It was in 2015. So
15. Oh, hat-trick.
I can't remember.
Oh, this is West Brom now.
He does not play for West Brom now. Okay, no.
Not Dwight Gayle.
Dwight Gayle.
If you want to stay with me, baby.
Wijnaldum.
Genie Wijnaldum.
Yeah,
it was.
Do you mean Gigi?
No, I mean Genie Wijnaldum. People get confused because of Gigi Buffon, I reckon.
People criticise me, okay, Luke criticises me for having to go to Ayoze Perez, to wit, I would say, F off, you haven't watched him be underwhelming for the last 3 years.
I watched him at Stamford Bridge this season, he was
good,
great.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, so.
But as I said, Rafa gets tunes out of players that certain other managers, and I'm pardoning, never did.
Rafa's the Pied Piper, mate.
Pete's the only person I know who makes points that are good points about his team in a forcefully negative way. Rafa, he gets tunes out of these players. That's a good thing, Pete.
I'd give Rafa my worldly possessions.
You would.
Would you call him the Magpied Piper?
What? Just because Jim's not here to criticise you.
Yeah.
It's imbalanced.
He probably is. Benitez. He said something which, if I'm honest with you, did surprise me a little bit. because obviously Newcastle up to 12th on 41 points, and he said that he'd like a bit more money to improve the team so they can compete with that bracket of teams that are fighting for 7th. I mean,
fighting for 7th.
It's
the glory years of the Premier League. We are living in golden times, I'm telling you.
Although on second reflection, I'm sure he said something like this before about wanting more money to improve the team.
Yeah.
So is the impasse...
6 months? No, it's every other month now. He doesn't give a damn. He knows his job's safe.
As far as I understand, the impasse is that Benitez says, if you guarantee me transfer funds, I'll sign a new contract. Yeah. And Ashley says, sign a new contract and I'll give you the funds.
Yeah.
And that's it, yeah?
And with the greatest respect to Rafa, he's been burned before, so he won't be signing
once
more, no contracts.
Twice shy.
You're very singy today.
You are very singy.
Last Christmas.
Very singy today.
Wham.
Yeah.
It's last Christmas.
Relevant.
Easter,
it's not relevant in any kind of capacity. But with Benitez, you're right. It's kind of like, all right, I'll sign. Because the fans sing him, because the fans know that Rafa is so crucial to the whole operation. And the fans have bailed out Ashley so
but
many times.
But the thing is, if you don't have Rafa and you have that level of investment, i.e. zero to minus,
championship next season, back end next season.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, So you're kind of whoever you bring in, because Rafa will not sign another contract without guarantees. Yes. Rafa will not be burnt again by this. And I almost sort of think he won't, if he's clever about it, he won't sign his new contract until the start of next season when the transfer window
closes. Because he's out of contract in June, so, he won't be there till next season.
Yeah, but he'll just say, I'll do a rolling contract. I'll do a rolling contract until the close of the transfer window, and then we'll see what state we're in.
But it's so frustrating.
That's what I'd be doing as a smart agent.
It's so frustrating for everybody concerned. And the reason why Rafa...
He wants it. The fans want to be there.
Exactly.
Him to be there.
This is it.
They love him.
Yep.
He's brilliant.
Yes.
He's so good with PR. He's so good with the community. He is the perfect 2019 Newcastle United manager.
I completely agree. And
but it's just such a missed opportunity. Imagine if he'd had the scouting and the money that was spent around about the time we had Johan Cabaye and Ben Arfa.
With all
like
this
that.
Stuff, I mean, who would you blame?
What do you mean?
Pete, you know,
Peter Beardsley. I want to blame Peter Beardsley.
There's this amazing
Peter.
This is amazing thing in the Premier League this season, which I think has gone underplayed, and I know I say that a lot, but genuinely it has. Callum Wilson to Ryan Fraser, and Ryan Fraser to Callum Wilson has garnered 11 goals this season.
Well.
It's the best combination, I think. I think it might even be the best combination ever. People can email in and tell
ever?
Me. Yeah, honestly, I think it is. I think it might. It's either very close to the record between a couple of Arsenal players whose names slip my mind at the moment.
Like, surprisingly,
it's an anomaly, but it's kind of, oh, geez.
But in between, though, so 6 goals from Callum Wilson being assisted by Ryan Fraser, and 5 goals from Ryan Fraser being assisted by Callum Wilson, so it makes 11 in total. In the middle of that is 5 goals scored by Ayoze Perez, assisted by Salomon Rondon, which I think is amazing.
But
that's in the whole Premier League, by the
way. And yet they don't want, and then they don't want to spend the money on Salomon Rondon. They've got this sort of umming and ahhing. It's like he is the ball goes anywhere near him, and he's like Velcro. Like it just the ball just sticks to him.
Yeah.
He's such a great hold up.
9 goals and 6 assists this season, and Perez has got 10 goals. It's actually fairly decent big man little man combo.
For it's not a permanent signing. And obviously, Perez has signed for very little money.
Do you rate Perez now or not?
Well, Rafa's got a tune out of him.
Yeah. But that's not answering the question, is it?
Do you blame Ashley or not?
In 2019, no, they shouldn't be relying on
Mike Ashley?
On Ayoze Perez. No, they shouldn't be. Not
all right. But Ashley's away saving the high street, mate.
Exactly.
Newcastle, it seems to be fun.
But there's always a bit of money to spend when Debenham's in trouble. Or
I do not understand Ashley's thinking.
He's got no money. Look at the jeans he wears.
Almiron.
Yeah. He's done well.
Looks a little bit like Lauren Harries.
I don't know who
Lauren Harries is.
The child antique expert.
Yeah.
I think he looks a bit like him.
I can sort of see that. Can I also just say that I missed the chance to tell a quite underwhelming joke during the Arsenal Crystal Palace thing?
Go on.
It's surprising that Crystal Palace were still able to win the game because I heard Wayne Hennessy was up all night the night before studying for GCSE.
How did the board sort of say it one way or the other? Like, he's literally arguing that up is down there. He's literally saying, I've never heard of Hitler. I've never heard of the Nazis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That seems like a baffling thing to get away with.
Yeah.
I say, all right, Wayne, you may have said that, But I don't fucking believe
it
you.
It kind of reminds me.
I don't believe a word you
so,
just said.
As far as I understand, there was a hearing.
Yeah.
And whoever it is, Hennessy and Palace or whatever, hired like a really expensive QC to argue that
just
point.
Just say you're fucking stupid. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's a Pyrrhic victory for Hennessy anyway. Kind of like the Donald Trump Jr. sort of thing. Mm. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted last week after the Mueller report, just told you, and then someone replied straight away saying, yeah, the Mueller report established that you were too stupid to understand that you committed a crime. Congratulations. It's like Hennessy. Yeah, you've got off with that,
yeah.
But you've essentially outed yourself as the most stupid man in the history of the Premier League.
It was like when Donna Eyre had parking permits for two neighbouring boroughs in London, and you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed one per residence.
I'm going
to
enjoy this, I think.
And her lawyer, her solicitor argued that she was too stupid to realise that you weren't allowed at both. And like, so that's on court record.
I can't even work a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I don't know how to work them.
Yeah.
Donna Eyre asked the cause how they first met.
Yeah,
this year as well. So you know, there we go.
Come on, leave the '90s UK MTV references alone now.
Sorry,
okay, gentlemen.
Let's do the WhatsApp group and go home. It's sunny outside.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about the championship this week because there's a full fixture list today.
Apart from, can I just jump in really quickly?
Actually, a couple of things. Go on.
No, you go first.
Bolton are relegated.
Yes, that was what I was going to say.
Forestieri's goal against Norwich.
That's what I was going to say. And I was going to say it because if you look at it again, it was a carbon copy. But with the left foot instead of the right foot of Beckham's free kick for England against Greece, exactly the same position, exactly the same part of the
wasn't
goal.
Was a free kick though?
I'm talking about a different game, aren't I?
No, well, you're talking about the equalising goal for Norwich.
Yes, I'm talking about that goal.
Oh, Forestieri's goal was better.
That was
than
a beauty.
That.
Sorry, I got confused. The free kick equaliser was exactly the same in circumstances, in position, in execution.
It was
but with the left foot instead of the right. It was not similar, Marcus. It was exactly the same.
Forestieri's goal was better.
It was.
He unleashed that.
I forgot about that for some
and
reason.
When he unleashed that, I swear, I could hear Elton in my ear going, "Rocket Man," because it was such
I think it's going to be a long, long time.
Are you just going to sing through the whole show?
Well, we're almost done, so.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy yourselves, yeah.
But there's more championship today, isn't there? So we'll leave that alone until
Thursday.
Absolutely,
but Leeds are throwing it away. Okay, let's go to the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. We've got a little jingle for that, Pete. WhatsApp! For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Now, last Thursday, when I made my triumphant return from Mexico...
It was a return. Okay.
A slight return, as the Blue Tones sound.
There you
only
go.
Only got seven.
No.
That's your fault, Peter. That's your fault.
That was Marblehead Johnson or something, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry.
Get the songs right if you're going to sing.
Sorry.
I witnessed a little piece of history at the Azteca Stadium in Mexico. I went to the old stadium. I saw the plaques. I saw the plaque that commemorated Maradona's goal against England, the match of the century, Italy versus West Germany, the two World Cup winners who have played at that stadium, 1786.
A lot of plaques.
An awful, I couldn't believe, if you're a dentist, don't go there. but it was a wonderful old stadium. I saw Cruz Azul play...
Blue Cross?
Yes, play Querétaro, which you will all remember, Ronaldinho's former club.
Right.
One of many. Right. Ronaldinho's former club.
What was the score?
It was 3-0 to Cruz Azul. I witnessed Milton Caraglio score the 10,000th goal in the Azteca Stadium.
How many of those were by Romario?
I don't think he ever played there off the top of my head. Maybe he did. I don't know.
Okay. What's his name? Who scored it?
Milton Caraglio. A bit of a journeyman. And when he scored the 10,000th goal, fireworks went off.
Nice. Nice.
It was a big thing. And you know what was funny? They went 1-0 up earlier in the game, did Cruz Azul. And people think, because I turned up to the stadium, but there was only about 15,000 in there. This 87,000 capacity stadium now is. It used to be about 100 million thousand of, you know, when they would pack them all in. Everyone was going, we could see the 10,000th goal. And I thought, oh, that'd be quite nice, although it is just another goal.
Yeah.
And when it went on firework, you'd think it was like New Year's Eve. It was absolutely mad.
Ruled off for VAR.
Yeah, that'd be
off.
But you know what, though? It was just as well. It was him who scored for the, well, the home side, really, a Club America there, but they are the home side for the moment. But it was nearly like a really crappy like goalkeeping error for it was nearly.
Like the first goal in the Spurs stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah, underwhelming.
Fortunately, this was a thumping diving header.
Right.
But they went on to win 3-0. He was presented with a plaque of his... They love a plaque there.
Oh,
he
lovely.
Was presented with all that after. And I did think to myself, it wasn't his 10,000th goal.
Yeah, he didn't score any of the others.
Don't be rotten. He deserves that.
He's
made himself part of history.
He certainly is.
Yeah.
Get another plaque on the wall.
Did you ever go at him for trying to get you to pick up a marker?
You were.
Who was marking? Who was marking Big Milton? I do not know.
Who scored the first Wembley goal? Was it David Bentley? Who scored the first?
No, it was an Italian player. Wembley. It was for the England. It was Italy under 21.
I got Massimo Macaroni.
No, it wasn't Macaroni.
Yeah. Right. Either way, did they get a plaque?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
More plaques in football. No, VAR, more plaques. That's what I say.
More statues, more plaques.
Okay.
although they'll start the David Beckham statue, so you go down that road, it can be a tricky one.
It's Pazzini, apparently.
Pazzini.
Yeah, there we go.
Giampaolo?
Yeah.
Why not?
Just do that. Pazzo used to do that.
Yeah, it's do crazy. The eyes. We'll finish with this. We've talked a little bit about George Weah, president of Liberia. It's always worth reminding ourselves. He's been having trouble with snakes recently.
Oh, dear.
I saw the headline, Snakes Force Liberian President George Weah Out of Office.
Yeah.
But it was not out of the job. It was just literally out of the office. He's been working
from
home.
The geographical location.
But he's okay. He's been working at home from his private residence. Mm. And the snakes will be beaten, I'm sure.
So I read this on the BBC News website.
Yes.
And the story is exactly as you recount it, Mark.
Did you think they were being metaphorical?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
But what I did like at the end is the BBC website has a section at the end where it says, you may also like, and it gives you a selection of other stories to click on.
Oh, yeah.
Just with the headline.
Oh, yeah.
The four linked to this story. No, I'm not going to get any of this up. The four headlines are, rats chase Nigerian leader from office. Number two, snake ate...
Chase! Down the road!
Yeah. Snake ate missing monkey, says Clark. Police rescue man from baby squirrel and daredevil raccoons skyscraper climb. There's a lot of animal related stories on the BBC.
If you're clicking on a story about a president of a nation, those ones shouldn't be lined up ready for your next read.
People aren't clicking because they're interested in the snakes. They're interested in the president.
Well, if we're talking on the WhatsApp group, the other news from a African president, Ugandan president wants to ban oral sex. Says the mouth is for eating.
Mm. They're not mutually exclusive.
No.
Yeah, just don't do it at the same time. That's what I was.
You could do.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
Do what you want.
All right. Well, Jim, I hope we'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah.
Speaking of... No, I won't say that.
Easy.
Speaking of oral sex.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you on Thursday. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks,
Pete Donaldson.
Nom nom.
And thank you, listeners, for getting through this nonsense.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.